Welcome back, Derek Guanasano with you. DC Everest leads Oakland North by 35 points here at this juncture of the game. And it's still, we still got 2:20 left in the third quarter. There's still a whole fourth quarter left to be played here. Well, DC Everest will once again boot the ball back to Eau Claire North. Stasniak will kick it off. Walking up to it now, sprinting, will boot this ball deep. Backing up to it and receiving the ball in the end zone is Solberg who got that. So Solberg got it in the end zone. It'll be a touchback to the 20-yard line. And that's where North will get the football. North in this game, well, just look ahead to next week. Stevens Point going to be a tough challenge. We'll see if they can pencil something in there. This, looking at this game, like my dad said earlier, if you're winning and losing, predicting these games going ahead, this is when you predicted to be an L. So just being in not quite a close game is not exactly what you want. McCracken takes a snap, throws to the far side. Solberg is there to make the catch, but he's immediately caught up to by four DC Everest players. It'll be second down and 8 yards to go.
Well, they're going to give him 4 yards on. Said he got out to the 24, second down and 6. Nice job by Solberg catching his at his shoelaces, and he scooped that one off up off the turf.
McCracken takes a snap. Now he'll hand it off to Friesen. Friesen, however, is going to be stopped right at the line. He will go nowhere. It'll be third down and still 6 yards to go. We are now into running clock situation as the clock will continue to tick. Under 90 seconds to go here in the third quarter as we have a third down and 6 for North. McCracken in the shotgun, takes a snap, now fakes the give, throws over the middle. He's got a man in Zach Shipman over the middle. He'll catch it about the 29-yard line. Let's see if they'll give him the first down, and yes, they'll give him the first down.
No, the line judge on the far side was giving him the first down. The line judge on the near side says no. So the line judge on the near side marked him at the 29. The line judge on the far side was going to give him the 30. And they're going to let the line judge on the near side win out, which is a little odd because the line judge that's by the chains on the far side usually has the jurisdiction. But it'll be fourth down and a yard from their own 29 with 40 seconds and counting until the end of the third quarter. And it looks like North will keep the offense maybe out there. They got 30 seconds and counting. They're going to have to run a play before the end of the quarter. And they are going to run a play, Derek.
Yep, they will.
Now, there's all this confusion. They've got kind of a muddied huddle. They're all looking at the far side. Now they finally get set here. 15 to go. The delay of game is about to get called on them. And they're going to have to use a timeout with 8 seconds until the end of the quarter. So North will use a timeout. The thing for as we look ahead again, North against Stevens Point next week, 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:45 broadcast time. We'll see if North can pluck that one off. The naysayers and those that want to be negative will say, "Well, look at who North beat. They were artificial wins. Okay, it's like punching a balloon." To beat Superior and, frankly, Memorial, two winless teams. But you have to win those games. You have to win those games still, and North did win those games. The old take care of business sort of thing to put themselves into position to be able to compete for a playoff spot. Now, if they don't win another game before the end of the regular season, miss the playoffs and all that, I think that would be greatly disappointing for the program. All right, they're going to go for it on 4th and 1, what will likely be the last play of the third quarter.
Understand. It was Shipman, understand. He'll take the snap, pitch it to Friesen, who will break through some tackles, get the first down and much more, an extra 10 yards after the fact. He'll get to the 40-yard line. And a first down, is that'll bring us to the end of the third quarter. All right, when we come back, we've got fourth quarter action here at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Feeling saucy? Then come down to A&W and dip a juicy 5-piece hand-breaded chicken tender combo into some signature spicy papa sauce. Enjoy your combo with crispy french fries and an ice-cold mug of A&W root beer made fresh on site with real cane sugar and a proprietary blend of herbs, bark, spices, and berries. This frosty mug deserves a celebration all of its own. Dip into A&W and try them today. Valid at Altoona, Colby, Cadott, Spencer, and Withy locations. Order online and skip the line.
And welcome back, Derek Montesano with you for the fourth quarter of football action here tonight. DC Everest holds a 48-13 lead over North. North just gained a first down at their own 40-yard line. It'll be first down and 10. McCracken in the shotgun, 3 wide out to the far side, 1 in the near. McCracken takes snap, hand off up the middle to Friesen. He'll gain maybe 2 yards as he'll be stopped right there.
Tried to pivot in the turf and did so, and changed his direction in the backfield and slid off one tackler, but again can only get a short gain as we begin to see cars darting away from the parking lot, and you can see them relieving the pressure on all of the residential side streets as well. This packed house tonight beginning to slowly exit. You still have a majority of the crowd of 3,000 plus here, but some people getting an early start to head out for the evening.
Yep, 11 minutes still to go here in this one. McCracken in the shotgun. He'll take the snap. Looking to pass. Fires to the far side. He's got a man in Shipman. Shipman will get in front of the far side sideline and will be pushed out of bounds at about the 49-yard line. It'll be third down and about a yard to go. North back up to the line here, looking at 10:39 to go here. McCracken takes the snap. He'll hand it off Friesen. Tries to bounce to the outside, but is unable to reach the line to gain on the third down play. He'll be just short, it looks like.
Carson Kemp with a great ankle tackle to not allow him to turn that edge. Both teams have kept the majority of their starters out there. Kemp is one of the top tacklers on the DC Everest team, and he showed it right there. A great tackle. There was a lot of green turf in front of Friesen if he had not gotten that tackle.
Now some confusion here from North yet again, and they're going to have to burn another timeout. So
yeah, this is, you know, North, again, 4th and a yard, you expect them maybe to go for it, and they just did not look like they had any semblance as to what they wanted to do. So they'll take a timeout. We might as well take one with them.
Yep, we'll take one with them here at ECHometownRadio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
So you were waiting until the weather got warm to install a new roof. Well, here we are, fall with beautiful colors everywhere. And you still got that ugly mess on the roof.
Bjorkstrand.
Ah, quit messing around. Go with the Metal Roof Specialist. That'll give you a 50-year, non-prorated, transferable warranty.
Bjorkstrand.
237-2678. 237-2678.
Bjorkstrand.
WIMetalRoofing.com.
Bjorkstrand.
WIMetalRoofing.com.
Derek Montesano with you here for more football with you. Fourth and one for North at their own 49-yard line. 9:55 to go here in this one. Fourth and one. McCracken in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Looks to pass the far side. Has a man defended again. And Shipman was the intended receiver. He's got the football, and he's got the first down. So move the chains on fourth and one for North. Look at that is their second successful fourth down attempt. So they've had two attempts and gotten them all successful. Now again, more confusion on the North sideline. Now they'll start to make their way. They're in like a de facto huddle half the time, with most of them just like staring at their own Ben. McCracken in the shotgun has Friesen to his left. Takes the snap. Oh, low snap goes underneath them. And McCracken is forced to fall on it at the 39-yard line. Bad snap goes right through McCracken's legs. And that will back him up. Let's see. So from the 46-yard line of DC Everest to their own 40-yard line. So trying to do some math in my head here. That will be about... It's a 14-yard loss on the play. It'll be second down and an Uber ride to go, 24 yards. McCracken will take the snap. Fakes the give. Now rolling to the near side. Throwing for Solberg. Makes the catch and will run about right near the original line of scrimmage at about the 47-yard line.
Yeah, player down for DC Evers back at the 30-yard line in the backfield. And they will be out to attend to him, so the clock will stop with 8:15 to go until the end of the ball game. Homecoming here at DC Everest, and said it before, they had an old-fashioned homecoming parade through, again, the ballpark. The stadium is located right on campus here, and they've got residential area right around, so they had the parade going down the residential area. They had fire trucks in there. They had some big construction equipment as well, for whatever reason, a number of floats put together by student groups. It was an old-fashioned community-engaged homecoming parade, and one could imagine you'll see even more of that at Northam Memorial when they start playing games on campus. There is more and more talk of games being on campus at those new facilities that have sprung up as early as next fall, even though that is not official quite yet. But that would be a lot different. Derek, you'll be a freshman at Memorial. As nice as Carson Park is, how cool would it be to be able to play games on campus?
I think that'd be pretty cool, just be able to be right there at where you're learning.
North used their last timeout just now, and did you catch a penalty on North? Because they've put the ball back at the 35-yard line.
I never saw any flags go anywhere, so...
So I don't know why, when the catch by Solberg, he got out to pass the 50-yard line, and instead they've got the ball at the 35 of North, which sets up second down and 29, so there must have been a flag on the play, and then North has just used their last timeout. And obviously we'll keep it here because there was the injury timeout to help out the injured DC Evers player, and now North uses another timeout. North has looked very sloppy on their communication in this second half. It has not been been a rough 90-minute drive out to DC Everest Day, and a humbling Friday night for the Huskies, who will still have 3 weeks left in the regular season, three shots to win two games to get into the playoffs. This was probably the hardest of that group, though. It's going to be almost as hard next week against Stevens Point. The reason I give it a little easier next week against Stevens Point is because you're at home. And then the last 2 weeks are games that on paper look like you've got a better shot at. Though obviously when, you know, North's a program that hasn't been in the playoffs in 25 years, there is no such thing as a guaranteed win.
Well, North has the football, second down and 29 yards to go. McCracken takes the snap, looking to pass. It's completely flustered in the backfield by some DC Everest players. He's forced to just get the ball away. It'll be third down and 29 yards still to go.
And McCracken gets up, and his left arm is hurting a little bit. But he's going to stay in there. McCracken also plays basketball, but very much a football kid, loves football. Started playing quarterback just a couple of years ago, but he's been playing up through the youth system, high school football, the way since he was in kindergarten.
McCracken will throw. He's got Solberg to the far side, makes two men miss, and will be able to get back to the original line of scrimmage. It may not feel like it, but that was a gain of 19 on the play, but it'll be fourth down and still 10 yards to go.
We'll give you an update on the out-of-town scoreboard on the postgame show, but Altoona and Memorial both lost big tonight. Meanwhile, Mondovi and Regis are in a slobber knocker as we speak.
All right, fourth down and 10, and it looks like they're going to keep the offense out there. 6.5 to go. I mean, you're down by a bunch, might as well. Takes the snap, looks over, got a man, Shipman. Shipman breaks the tackler to the 20, the 15, 10, and he's going to be brought down at the 10-yard line. Zach Shipman with a 30-yard reception to the 10-yard line, and that will bring up a fresh set of downs for North at just the 10-yard line. This will be first and goal.
Now a chance to get their third score of the game, which would be the third straight week they've scored three times in a game.
McCracken, back to pass, rolling to the near side, fires, he's got Solberg, and he'll run it into the end zone. Touchdown for North. Aaron Solberg with the 10-yard catch and run. And just like that, it's 48-19 in favor of DC Everest.
Now Peyton McCracken with the touchdown pass, his fifth of the year, and Solberg with his first receiving touchdown of the year. And as I said, it's the now third straight week that North has scored three touchdowns in a ball game, which is a small bit of success for this team. Just the only issue is they've allowed a season-high 48 points against.
Well, Solberg will set up for the kick here to make it 48-20. Snap, balls down, kicks up, and the kick is good, so it will be 48-20. We'll take a break when we come back. More football still to come here at echometownradio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Sportsmen in the Valley know that when it comes to success in the outdoors, you need to depend on a trusted partner like Bill's Sports Shop in Chippewa Falls. With over 50 years of family ownership and expertise in rod and reel repair, you know you'll never let the big one get away. Bill's is local, and that means their knowledge takes the guesswork out of everything you'll need for fishing. They're like fresh live bait now in stock. Bill's Sports Shop appreciates the local support. Join Bill's Sports Shop group on Facebook and share your favorite fish pics and videos.
And welcome back, Derek Montesano with you. 5:41 still to go here in this one. Well, we're at a running clock, folks. It's 48-20 as that touchdown there by North will make it a 28-point game. Well, Solberg will get set to kick this ball back to DC Everest. Stolberg. It's set. And now whistles will blow.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Now D.C. Everett's going to use a timeout on the kickoff because they had two because they wanted to make some changes on there. You want to talk about a turbulent landing to this game. I don't think either coaching staff is going to be pleased with whatever communication issues have been going on the sideline on either side here because is it an issue of coaches not knowing what they want? You know, it's a small army in and of itself, the number of coaches these high school teams have. So do you have guys not communicating properly? Is the chain of command, where's the breakage going? North has had trouble getting plays in. DC Evers had a number of trouble tonight, even going back to the first quarter, making sure they had enough guys on the field or the proper substitution. So it has been there's definitely, from a DC Evers standpoint, they'll be happy about the win, but they'll have a lot to clean up. And from a North standpoint, you're down 48-20. There's not a lot you are going to grab from this, but the fact that you did score three touchdowns in this game does go for something. And DC Everest has kept their starting defense out there, by the way, so it's not like you're doing it that last drive against freshmen and sophomores.
Well, take two on Solberg kicking the ball away. And he'll line up for it. Now hopping and running up to it. End over end kick is kicked to about the into the end zone. It'll be a touchback to the 20-yard line.
You would think that DC Evers will keep this one on the ground, and I wouldn't think North is out of timeouts anyway. But if DC Evers were to get a couple of first downs, that would salt it away. But it also depends on the personnel they have out there, because if you start putting sophomores, juniors that don't play a lot out there, you want to allow them a chance to play football. They practice as hard as everybody else. Stasniak stays in at quarterback, though, so I don't think they're going to try too hard. Let's see.
As Stasniak takes a snap, he'll hand it off up the middle, and a gain of just a few yards on the play by Corbin Ezenroth, who is now in at running back. He'll gain 5 yards on the play. It'll be second down and 5.
Now, the old thing is, when you were in the BRC conference, if you were losing big in football, you could, the North students or what have you could start to say, well, we'll see you at the hockey rink, or we'll see you in basketball, or we'll see you in baseball, we'll get you there. Not the case here. These schools, unless they play each other in non-conference affairs in other sports, will not see each other. Though DC Everest and North, I do think, come across each other. I know Memorial and DC Everest sometimes play in baseball, but remember, North and Memorial do stay in the BRC for all other sports besides football. That's another thing too, though. We mentioned there's a couple hundred friends and family for North players opposite of us, but you don't have, because Wausau's not Chi High. It's not a 15-minute drive. You don't get the students traveling as much as maybe you're used to.
Well, it's a third down and 2 now. Snap fakes the give, and now they'll throw it, and they've got a receiver. Catch made. I'm trying to get a number.
That's 85.
Okay, that is 85.
Not on the roster.
Yep, that's a non-roster.
Get him to pull the second roster out. Not there either.
Yep, that's a non-rostered number, folks.
The ghost.
It's a ghost on the field.
Great catch by that ghost, by the way. A bulleted pass, a fastball over the middle that he caught with one hand for that short but effective gain for the first down.
Now they'll take the snap. Hand off up the middle, and he's going to go absolutely nowhere for a gain of 2 on the play, and it'll be second down.
They've really emptied out the bench now. You're getting the big the big burst of energy from the crowd as some other kids are now getting some playing time. That was Robert Clay, who's a junior who doesn't see a lot of time, who got that carry. And he'll stay in the backfield here.
3 minutes to go here in this one. Second down and 8 from the 37-yard line. Take snap again, Clay. Sheds off a tackler, but is unable to go anywhere else. Now, North trying to claim the ball came loose, but it looks like it will. Yeah, it looks like it will remain with DC Everest. So, third down and 10 yards to go now for DC Everest. Now, look to, as they've now completely emptied out their bench, now look to get these guys a good opportunity here. These minutes for these guys feel the same as any other. Here's a snap. Rolling out to the inside, catch made by number 17. That's Colin Fuchs, as he'll gain about 7 or 8 yards on the play, and that'll bring us to a fourth down and 3 yards.
You would think they punted here on fourth and 3 from their own 42.
Nope.
But no.
They're going to stay out there, and they're going to go for it on fourth and 3 from their own 42-yard line. Takes a snap. Looking. Fires short. Catch made, and they're going to get the first down and more. Busting free and gaining a ton of yardage there is Silas Weber.
I don't know why they passed it and all that. Now they can just kneel out the clock. If they don't, it's going to be really classless from Braden Mitchell. Passing up 48-20, going for it on fourth and 2. Now you should just kneel on it. Now the game's over. Just kneel on the darn thing now.
Yep, we're under 90 seconds, a minute 20 to go.
Yeah, now they bring out the number one offense.
And yeah,
I would think they're bringing out the number one offense to celebrate here. And yep, that's the case. They're going to have the number one offense take the knees.
And we are now in victory formation, folks. A minute to go on the clock. DC Everest will just take a knee.
I understand what Braden Mitchell, I think, was doing, but that young man's got to learn a little class. I kind of understand what he's thinking. He could defend it, running a play there on fourth and 2 and all that, but that was a little classless by that young man. Well, young man, an older coach one day will teach him a lesson.
Up DC Everest, we'll let the clock pretty much tick away here, and that should about do it. And we're down on 20 seconds now.
Yeah, they don't have to run another play. Bread basket empty.
We're waiting on the check now. 10 seconds on the clock. It really plays no factor now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and that's the ball game. The Eau Claire North Huskies fall to DC Everest by a final score of 48-20. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll recap the scoring from this game, give you a look at the out-of-town scores here at echometownradio.com and 93.5 The Tap.
Attention gentlemen, fall is here, and Muldoon's Menswear has you covered. Whether you're stepping out in style with a tailored Jack Victor suit, kicking back in a Tommy Bahama shirt, or staying sharp in 34 Heritage jeans, Muldoon's has everything you need. Fresh fall fashions are arriving daily, perfect for any occasion, from casual wear to outerwear, shoes, and tuxedos. Visit Muldoon's today and find your perfect fit. Muldoon's Menswear, where style meets sophistication. Check us out online at Muldoon's.com.
Stay tuned for tonight's post-game show, featuring a recap of the game and replay of some of the game's top highlights coming up next.
Join the area's newsmakers and learn more about what is happening in our town, all while enjoying a beer with the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. Each week, Jerry Keel from Northwestern Bank brings on guests to learn more about what is happening in our region, and along the way, they try some delicious beers. It's the Banker with a Beer podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com.
Eau Claire Hometown Media is where the Chippewa Valley comes to talk. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify and have local podcasts come right to you every single day. Eau Claire Hometown Media features Banker with a Beer, Dose of Dog, Talk of the Town, and many other popular local podcasts. Follow Eau Claire Hometown Media on Spotify today.
We discuss this game and all the local games on the Sports Watch podcast series, heard only at echometownradio.com. That's echometownradio.com. The Sports Watch podcast series is the only audio show in the area that is devoted to Chippewa Valley sports, high school, the Blue Gold, the Chippewa Steel, as well as shining a light on the numerous youth and neat sports organizations in town. The Sports Watch podcast at echometownradio.com.
It's time for tonight's post-game show, featuring a recap of the game and replays of some of the game's top highlights. Let's go back to the field and to Scott Montesano.
Well, a humbling experience for the Eau Claire North Huskies as they come here to D.C. Everest, Rothschild, Wisconsin, and fall by a final score of 48-20. Scott Montesano with you, Derek Montesano with us as well as we put this game into a neat little package. North had a brief 7-6 lead in this game, but it was all D.C. Everest really from there on out. North's defense only once forced a punt from D.C. Everest. D.C. Everest scored on every possession they had except for one punt, and when they ran out of time at the end of the game and they were just running out the clock. North scores three touchdowns, third straight week they've scored three times, but you're not going to win when you allow 48 points.
Yeah, you're just not going to be able to be competitive in games if you're going to give up 48 points.
Well, let's recap this one, Derek, because there were some reasons to smile for Eau Claire North.
Yeah, let's not forget, with 5:07 to go in the first quarter, while trailing 6-0, Levante Bean had a big 68-yard touchdown run.
He got that New York Jet quarterback treatment, not the Aaron Rodgers treatment. Shotgun from McCracken. Hand off again to Bean. Bust to the middle. He's past the 45 to the 50. Foot race to the 40-yard line. Hits the near sideline. Stays on his feet to the 20, to the 10. Wave him goodbye. Touchdown. Touchdown for the North Huskies. A 68-yard touchdown run by Levante Bean. He outran the whole Evergreen student body the last 50 yards. And the game is tied at 6.
And they would take a 7-6 lead on the extra point. However, they would fall behind big. It would be 41-7 until, with 4:15 to go in the third quarter, Levante Bean again, this time from 72 yards.
United.
McCracken in the shotgun. Takes a snap, handoff, Bean. Bean will bust to the outside. He's got an opening to the 40. He's to the 50, to a foot race to the outside. He's going to go all the way. Touchdown. Touchdown for North. A 70-yard touchdown run by Levante Bean, his second of the game. And North has a little bit of life in them. It's 41-13. However, the failed extra point would make it 41-13. Then with 5:41 to go in this game, Aaron Solberg found himself on the score sheet with this 10-yard touchdown.
Well, a chance to get their third score of the game, which would be the third straight week they've scored three times in a game.
McCracken, back to pass, rolling to the near side, fires, he's got Solberg, and he'll run it into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown for North. Aaron Solberg with the 10-yard catch and run. And just like that, it's 48-19 in favor of D.C. Everest. They would make the game 48-20 on the extra point, and that's how that game would conclude. Some key stats from that game. North were 3 of 12 from third downs. DC Everest, 5 of 10. North, however, 2 for 2 on fourth downs. DC Everest, 1 for 1. Penalties in this game. North had 5 for 50 yards. And DC Everest, 7 for 55.
DC Everest with the win. Improves to 4-0 in the Wisconsin Valley Conference, 5-1 overall. They've won 5 in a row. Meanwhile, for the North Huskies, they are now 2-5 overall, 2-2 in the conference, and still need to win 2 of their final 3 games to snap that more than 25-year postseason drought for Eau Claire North Huskies football. One more break, we'll come back. Final look at the out-of-town scoreboard and our last goodbye for the night. This is Eau Claire Area High School Sports from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Final goodbye for the night as DC Everest defeats Eau Claire North, final score of 48-0. Let's take a look at how some other area teams fared tonight.
Well, late in the fourth quarter, Regis versus Bon Jovi, it looks like Regis remain undefeated as they lead 37-22. Over in the Middle Border Conference, there is a final. Woodville destroyed Altoona 41-6. And between Memorial and Menominee, it did not fare well for Memorial as they fell 45-16. Also in action was the Chippewa Steel versus Colorado. They had a 2-1 lead, and then it came crashing down with just 3 seconds left. Colorado scored the winner and ended that one 3-2, the final there.
Again, North lose here, but they still have a season. They've got to win two of their final 3 games. Again, 2 of their final 3 games they must win. Next week, they're home against Stevens Point, a game we have here on 93.5. 7 o'clock kickoff, 6:45. We'll have our broadcast start right here on 93.5. So, hey, come on out to the game at Carson Park. See if the Huskies can get back on the winning side of things and really pick up one of their magnificent wins they will have had in the last number of years against Stevens Point. So come out to the game next device along with you. Derek, final thoughts tonight?
Well, just got to get some food in the belly and get ready for next week against Stevens Point.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight from suburban Wausau, Wisconsin. Again, DC Everest defeats Eau Claire North 48-20. On behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, on behalf of Derek Montesano, I'm Scott Montesano, saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until next week, so long, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to this presentation of Eau Claire High School Football from Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap, and Civic Media. For a schedule of other upcoming games, visit echometownradio.com or thetap.fm. This has been a presentation of Eau Claire Hometown Media, 93.5 The Tap and Civic.
Years, and I've been saying this the whole time. You know, we built the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization during my grandparents' era.
Exactly.
They did it through smart policy, sound investment, and the secret sauce of a strong labor movement that fought for those better wages, hours, conditions. As employers were doing better, workers did better as well. So for me, the labor component of this is the, I think, one of the most important parts that sometimes gets left aside by Democrats.
Absolutely.
Now, we've seen this in the past where there's, you know, there's been a lot of there's talk. I truly believe this ticket, this Democratic Party right now believes in the rhetoric that they're talking about.
I've seen it, you know, firsthand. I remember the first conversation I had with the vice president before worker task force meeting in May of 21. We looked at the relationship between union density and the share of income going to the top 10%. And when union density was high, that moved down. It was an inverse relationship. You can see it very clearly. And what's been broken in this country for the last 50 years is the gap now between workers' productivity and their wages. Productivity has gone up. Wages have stayed basically flat. And why is that? Because unions have been pushed down. They've been attacked. And they haven't been supported across the ideological spectrum. Now we're seeing Republicans try and make approaches to unions. It's not authentic. It's not legitimate. But I think workers are seeing now, unions are seeing now, the Democratic Party coming home to who they are and what they represent in their best capacity.
And I think it's, again, when you, it's the talk is one thing. And there was talk at the RNC of labor rights. There was talk about that. The actions, are for me, are the most important part.
Right.
And I look at Jelly Bucket Joe. Joe Biden came to work every day.
Yep.
Smart policy moved forward. But more importantly, put people into positions who are the best people.
Correct.
I know we had a guy who was president for 4 years, talked about the very best people. And what do we get? We get anti-union, pro-corporate people at every single level. So when I look at Biden's record, it's Jennifer Abruzzo, it's Lina Khan. It's those people who they have effect of our lives.
Yep.
It wouldn't matter if Joe Biden was still on the ticket. I'm voting for everybody that was on that team.
Absolutely.
And those are those folks.
Personnel is policy, and this administration has walked the walk on that front. And when you look at the last administration, and again, going back to building trades members, our ladder to the middle class for an increasingly diverse building trades movement is our apprenticeship movement, is our pre-apprenticeship system, where we're recruiting more people and giving them ladders of opportunity. Former President Trump tried to blow up that apprenticeship system and that pre-apprenticeship system. President Biden and Vice President Harris have supported, have expanded it, and have expanded the jobs moving in there. So it's the people waking up every day who care about these policies who are union members themselves, people like Secretary Walsh as well. And even, you know, the current Labor Department is just, you know, emphatically pro-union, and we're really as they should be. I mean, for example, and I've worked in the labor movement for 20 years. Julie Hsu helped convene a meeting with Leo Brainerd back during our building trades conference at the White House, where she brought together people who represent workers' capital to talk about, you know, creating good union jobs in private equity. So private equity is this monstrous, predatory part of Wall Street that fires workers, that loads companies up with debt, that destroys companies. This administration talked about workers being at the center with their own money, their retirement money, and creating good union jobs and labor standards in private equity. That's something I would have never dreamed of before. But every time that we need them to stand with us, they show up. I think, you know, the vice president, by my count, has been to dozens of union training centers now. And when you go into those apprenticeship centers, you see people whose lives are opening up, who will be able to provide for their family for the next generation because they have a good union job, pension, health care, and security, and a voice at work.
So now we've talked about all this stuff, but, you know, the reality is that most of the building trades people I know, they're wearing the red hats.
Right.
I think they're starting to wake up.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of this compounding that you can't ignore everything.
Right.
So as you're out there talking to your members, as you're out there, you know, doing this get out the vote effort, are your members, you know, waking up? Because, look, I know my building trades friends are inundated day to night, just like my truck driver buddies are.
Yeah.
Day to night, right-wing blather, hate radio, top to bottom, day and night. And they learn by absorption.
Right.
Are they seeing the reality and what's being presented to them? Are they seeing that?
I believe they are, and I feel like I've seen it on the ground. I was in Northern Michigan for the last 2 months. And I think, and maybe this is a little self-serving, but it's important. When your union is talking to you, it's different. When the union that hires you and sends you out on jobs, when the union that provides retirement, healthcare, that the union that trained you is talking to you, it's different. And what that union is saying to them is, look at the historic number of work opportunities we have now because of Vice President Kamala Harris and President Biden in terms of not just the CHIPS Act and the IRA, but the Infrastructure Act and all of the investments and reshoring of manufacturing. That's something else we should talk about is trade and reshoring manufacturing. And on the other side, look at what wasn't done under former President Trump in terms of infrastructure, but also the fact that he raised taxes for building trades members. He took away the ability for them to deduct union dues from their taxes. He attacked the apprenticeship system and tried to blow up the registered apprenticeship system, which has worked for 100 years. So when we have these conversations about kitchen table issues, I think there's a switch, there's an aha moment, but it's going to take a lot of work over these last 3 months to really continue to make that case on behalf of their union.
Because part of this also is the people that I know, they think they're going to be okay.
Right.
Well, I'm okay in what I've got. I don't hooray for me, and I don't care about. Do they think that it's finally maybe going to come home to them?
You're exactly right, Rick. I think that they're in, and we've seen this in the polling. I'm glad you hit on this. That there is this idea that I'm looking at a LAUNA sign up here now in the United Center, a laborers union. There's an idea that the union is sort of like an insurance policy, that the union will protect them. Well, that's what we do on behalf of our members. But
not just them, their families, their standard of living,
their community,
their health, their retirement, everything.
But if we don't stand up now for an administration that has emphatically been the most pro-union in our lifetime, then we have lost everything that we've gained to this point and could gain going forward. And going back to something you said before about the law, this isn't the ability for workers to earn more, to keep more, to stay in the middle class isn't going to change until we enact the PRO Act. That is something that is essential, not just for the building trades unions to move, but for every union.
Yep.
So they have a fair process to organize. And for us to really grow and thrive and meet the moment in terms of public support, that's what's going to have to happen in the Harris-Walz administration in the first 100 days. And if we don't get there, we're going to continue to tread water. And the insurance policy could get canceled under the next administration if it's Trump and Vance.
That's an excellent way to put it. Lastly, I want to get some of your thoughts on. I just saw that you guys – set the industry standard for offshore wind,
yep.
A national agreement. Walk me through what that looked like real quick.
Yeah, so with Ørsted and other big firms, we now have a national project labor agreement. So it goes back to what we were saying about the Inflation Reduction Act and creating good union jobs and just transition. We now have a standard that we can hold other firms accountable to. And in places like New York and New England now, there'll be a collective bargaining agreement where workers will have a union, have a fair voice in the job, be more productive, lower the cost on the project, and continue to create density and muscle memory and more jobs in this essential space.
So basically everything that you're doing, Donald Trump and Project 2025 and the MAGA world want to completely eviscerate.
Want to blow up. Exactly.
Got it. I got it. But, and this is one of those moments, the choice is very clear, isn't
it? Which side are you on?
Absolutely.
Yep. It goes back to that essential question in the labor movement.
There you go. Dan Perdotti, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
Love to have you come back and talk to us again.
Anytime. Thank you again.
Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You a trades member? You a union member? Is this hitting home? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1912. That was the day the U.S. Congress approved the formation of the Commission on Industrial Relations. In the early 1900s, the terrible work conditions and entrenched resistance to union organizing had led to increased labor unrest. In 1910, two union members in San Francisco bombed the Los Angeles Times building, killing 20 people. The public outcry led officials in Washington to decide they needed to get serious about investigating the reasons behind the mounting anger of working people. The commission included 9 members, 3 workers, 3 employers, and 3 community members. The leader was Frank P. Walsh, a labor lawyer from Missouri. Led by Walsh from 1913 to 1915, the commission embarked on a sweeping investigation of the conditions of work in the United States. They conducted 740 interviews that took them 154 days to complete. Interviewees included IWW leader Big Bill Haywood, labor hellraiser Mother Jones, and champion of working people lawyer Clarence Darrow. The commission investigated the Paterson, New Jersey silk mill strike and multiple other work actions. For 3 days, the commission grilled John D. Rockefeller on the Ludlow Massacre. The result was an 11-volume compilation of testimony. 100,000 copies of a shorter final report were published. The final report described the poor working conditions at many job sites and the brutal repression of the labor movement. It critiqued the treatment of agricultural workers. Predictably, many found fault with the commission's findings. The New York Herald called the commission's chairman Walsh a Mother Jones in trousers. Despite these critics, the comprehensive report stood as a powerful, detailed review of the conditions faced by thousands of working people every day. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
As we close up today's program, I got to tell you, I look at Tim Walz's speech, and as we talked about earlier with Doug Jones, a lot there that grabbed my attention. And look, for me personally, he could be my neighbor. He could be, look, me. The things that he's gone through, the things that he's talked about, things that I intimately identify with. You know, as we said last week on the program, when it came out that when his father passed, that the family collected Social Security survivor benefits. And here's a guy who got this, as I did, and oddly enough, does not want to destroy it like we saw with Paul Ryan. So for me, this is a politician who has lived through some stuff, has come to his political positions through the hard knocks of life, has seen people struggle, suffer, tighten the belt, seen paychecks not go far enough, and has said, hey, there's got to be a better way. And using government as that tool, that's the important part of this. The idea that we can make actual change and make people's lives better, that's a great thing. And, you know, as this frame keeps coming out about, you know, Coach Walls, it started me thinking about my own experiences. Look, I coached all of my kids' sports, basketball, baseball. You know, I volunteered as a big brother for years and helped coach his football team. So you see how these kids grow. You see how the light goes on when they get it. So from a coach's perspective, it's an incredible thing. But I also remember it as a player, as that kid being coached, being that knowledge being shared and that want for you to do better. And I think about the high school football coach that I had, a guy named Jerry Younger. He passed many years ago. But, you know, in Ohio, he was football lore. Because we were a fairly small school, but competed on a bigger level. And while in the moment, I didn't appreciate the pushing, in the moment I didn't appreciate the words that were being used, it did push me to be a much better player, a much better person, and a much better teammate. And ultimately, part of the man that I am, and a lot of it, because to be honest, without athletics, without football to begin, and then basketball and baseball and everything that came with that, I probably would not have completed high school because of where I was in my life, you know. Look, I grew up in the housing projects where a lot of people unfortunately didn't and sadly still don't. And I was, you know, with my grandparents who they were ready to get on with their retirement. They were ready to move to the next phase of their lives. You know, taking on an incorrigible, delinquent 13-year-old was not in their cards, but they did it. And I quite easily could have seen if I would have decided I'm not going to continue, that them being unable to stop that. But it was that coach who I almost got into a fist fight with, oddly enough, that really made me want to get up every day and show up to school and do the work, and for the privilege of playing, for the privilege of taking out some of the anger I had on the playing field. And that really, really shaped who I am. So when, again, I go back to it, I'm sure people are tired of hearing this already. I'm getting the emails. When they go low, you get lower. That's the basis of football. It's leverage. So when they go low, I was always taught you push their face into the mud. And as they're going down, you put your knee in their back so they don't do it again. And I see Coach Walls as one of those guys, one of those caring, compassionate people who, is going to be there. And it got me thinking about, you know, my own experience with Coach Younger. Because, you know, there was a moment where some weird things happened when I was a kid. And my grandfather and I did not see eye to eye an awful lot. But I had brought my football helmet home, and he took it all apart. Weird. And I went back to the coach, and I said, look, I can't do this. And he put his arm around me and said, okay, we'll just get you another helmet. It's not that hard. And was there when I needed those moments of encouragement, those moments when you weren't ready to take the next step, those moments where you thought you couldn't go any further. And there to encourage and push. Not because it meant the world to them, but because of what it could mean to me and to the rest of the team. And that, learning those lessons, I think, are invaluable. Now, look, I got bad knees to show for it, thanks to some moments. But those are life lessons that I think that are incredible. And to see the players of his team come out there and support him as they did, that's incredible stuff. And it's the kind of stuff of Americana. It's the kind of stuff that's who we are. And that's why when I look at Tim Walls, I'm encouraged. And look, I said from the beginning, the first choice of any president or any candidate who's running for president, who's going to be their partner? Kamala Harris hit it out of the park. Because this is a guy who the right is trying as hard as they can to demonize, to make fun of, to try and tear down. This guy seems unimpeachable. His reputation, all the people who have gone, yeah, he pushed me out of a snowbank. I've got to question this. This is where my mind goes. In life, how many people who have sat in the Oval Office or, you know, in the vice president's chair, how many of those people have actually pushed somebody out of a snowdrift? How often do you think that's happened? We got to go back, I think. We got to have to go back, way back. Someone who's attended a bake sale, not because it was politically advantageous, but was because how they afforded to pay for a school trip or new equipment or to take coaching in sports that he doesn't know much about so that he can pay school lunch tabs. This is incredible stuff. But oddly enough, someone that I recognize, and that, you know, when we went on Twitter and I said, hey, you know, share your experience, there are a ton of people sharing those very experiences of that person who didn't have to spend all those hours coaching and planning and coming up with a playbook. As Coach Walls said, that if you make a playbook, you're going to use it. Of course you're going to use it. So I look at the moment that we're in, and I'm encouraged beyond no other that this moment, there are two people who are going to sit in the Oval Office and move a policy agenda that is going to take people like me, people like you, working people, and their needs, wants, and dreams into account. This idea of having a worker-centric, worker-focused administration should be something that we all want, something that we all push for, something that we all believe in. I know it's my thought, it's my hope, it's my dream, but it's an amazing, amazing time. But I want to hear your thoughts. Do you identify with someone like Coach Walls? Is there someone in your background, someone that you came across when you were in high school, someone that you came across when you were a young person, someone who influenced what you've become? Can you see that influence in your everyday life now? I want to hear about it. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, because I think this is an incredibly important moment. Incredibly important. But so far, this convention has been obviously the most electric, most energized. And the question is, well, how does it go outside? I want to hear how you're feeling about this. Is it resonating outside the walls of this arena? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, download the podcast. Wherever you get your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. As always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@thericksmithshow.com. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.